The following program is brought to you in living color.
What are you doing? You burned all the food, the shade, the rum.
Yes, the rum is gone.
Why is the rum gone?
One, because it is a vile drink that turns even the most respectable men into complete scoundrels. Two, that signal is over 1,000 feet high. The entire Royal Navy is out looking for me. Do you really think that there is even the slightest chance that they won't see it?
But why is the rum gone?
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
You all know people like this. You may be people like this.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape in all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you never wanted to know about wine, but you're stuck listening to anyway. That's The Wine Crush, and that's how we're going to roll this week. We've got a nice show ahead of us for all of you planning at this lovely juncture, your vacations for the spring and summer. We have Miss Tyler Mazzeo. She is the author of Backlane Wineries of Napa Valley. She's going to join us to tell us how to find those great things off the beaten path. And we all need to find things off the beaten path someday. Some days that path is just beat too far to be recognizable, as Kent can certainly attest to.
Tell me about it, yes.
Yes, I walked in. I had to run through the whole studio trying to find Kent. He was cowering under his desk, his hair standing on end. And for once, it had nothing to do with me.
That's right. It was totally on you.
I am off the hook, at least until I start the next 10 minutes of introduction. I'm sure I'll find a way to screw that up. But we do have an interesting show. We've got a lot of your calls, some emails, and of course, the fun in the news facts that you have come to depend on the crush for. But of course, we have to start the show off with my wine recommendations. And this week's wine recommendations are not for the faint of heart. Yes, I had read recently that it said that champagne sales are up, that people are feeling confident in the economy. They're feeling confident in their wines. So year-on-year sales versus last year, they're up 10.7% and 14.6% in volume. People are drinking Krug again. People are drinking Dom again. We certainly aren't where we were in 2007. But yes, things are looking up and people are spending money on wine. So this week, both my wine recommendations are come in about the $50 mark. But trust me, you're worth it. The first one, I don't think I have actually ever recommended this wine. We have talked about it in its past. Palmyre Chardonnay, the 2008 vintage of this Napa Valley Classic is out. And for those of you who are purist at heart, for those of you who hear about how winemakers manipulate wine, how they do strange yeast, how they do strange oak, that they add different things to it, this is truly a purist wine. The 2008 Napa Valley Chardonnay, it's picked, it's hand-sorted, it is native yeast, so there's no yeast inoculated into it, it's not filtered, it's not fined, it basically winds up being just the grapes in your glass. It does spend 11 months on oak, but it's tempered oak, so when you taste it, you get great apricot, you get great peach, you just get this creamy, lush flavor, and at the end, you don't feel like you've chewed on a baseball bat, you don't feel like you've been sucking on an oak tree. It is very, very great, full-bodied dinner Chardonnay all the way around. It's one of those bottles, though, be warned. If you're having friends over, you're going to open it up. You're going to have it at the perfect serving temperature. You're going to pour yourself a glass, and then you're going to hide it behind the refrigerator because you're not going to want to share. I actually ran into this Sunday night. I opened up a bottle, and bless his heart, my husband was dying to taste this Palmyre Chardonnay. I poured myself a glass. I hid the bottle. He's like, "Where'd the Chardonnay go?" I looked at him and said, "It was corked. You don't need to worry about it." Poor man never got to see it. But for those of you who want something unique, that's definitely it. Now, of course, Palmyre is going to spark some of y'all's memories. This is one of the greatest movie stories ever in the California wine business. Unfortunately, I'm dating myself, but you can remember the movie Disclosure. It's when Demi Moore goes after, I think it's Richard Gere, I can't swear to it, or Michael Douglas, and sexually harasses him. But the central part of this movie and the seduction plays around a bottle of wine. Now, Jason Palmyre was new to the wine business when this movie was coming out, and the directors and producers of the movie wanted an unknown wine that was kind of expensive, that would be unique and memorable. So they pick up the phone, they call Jason Palmyre and say, "Hey, listen, someone said something about your Chardonnay. Can you send us a case?" Now, once again, keep in mind, these are not inexpensive wines we're talking about today. So Jason Palmyre said, "Well, I'm not giving away a case of my wine. This is just some kind of gimmick." He hangs up the phone, talks to a buddy, and his buddy says, well, who's directing the movie? Who's in the movie? And he's like, well, Demi Moore. His friend says, you're an idiot. You get that phone number. You call him back and say you'll give him that case of wine. So sure enough, Jason thinks about it and says, I can't lose anything. Sure, I'll give you a case of wine. The movie comes out. The day after the movie came out, Jason Pallmeyer sold every single bottle of Chardonnay he'd made, not only in that vintage, but the vintage before, and had a waiting list for the next 3 years. So we all talk about how subliminal placements in movies can really make or break a brand. He definitely has Demi Moore, the cougar himself, to thank for that one. So that's your wine recommendation on the whites this week, Pallmeyer Chardonnay. And since I was getting carried away thinking about movies, I had to do a red that was along the same lines. We did Rubicon. Now, Rubicon is a Rutherford Cabernet-based. It's a blend, but it's Rutherford Cabernet. And, of course, Rubicon is made by Francis Ford Coppola. So I figure we'll go for an actress to a director. But this is a powerful, big wine. The wine itself is produced on the Gustav Niebaum property, and it's actually made on estate. Gustav Niebaum was a sea captain back in 1875, 1880, and he came over to Napa, and he had basically a lot of plunder and decided to build his house so it would look like his ship. And he actually took parts of his ship off to use it to build the house. Of course, we all know it as the house that's the foundation for the Coppola Winery. Beautiful, beautiful property. And, of course, that's Inglenook that it started. But Coppola has it now, and that's where Rubicon comes from. Rubicon's roughly 85% Rutherford Cabernet. It's got Petit Verdot. It's got Cabernet Franc in it. But what's great, I love doing Rutherford Cabernets in blind tastings. I love doing Rutherford Cabernets, period. They call it the Rutherford dust. There's a certain flavor in these wines that you just can't mimic or get anywhere else. So you're going to get the great cherry, you can get great blackberry, you can get great plum flavors in this, but also you get that very distinctive Rutherford taste that once you have it, you're going to be addicted for life. So Rubicon by Francis Ford is our red wine recommendation today. Now, of course, I usually use this point to talk about interesting things in the news, but I am going to bring up one interesting fact about both these wines that tie them both together. Both of them come in at 14.9% alcohol. Now, that is not exactly shy-style wine. I will say this, though. The body on both these wines can carry it. When you drink it, you're not going to think it's hot. But this brings me to an interesting story in the news right now. The TTB, the Tobacco Alcohol Bureau, is going around and warning wineries that we're going to hold you to what's on your labels. They are finally going to start investigating when people are starting to put organic or biodynamic symbols or kosher symbols. There is a process everyone has always had to go through. Of course, there's 7 things that are required by law on wine labels. But they're wondering if there's not fudging. When you're looking at many wineries, I think we said last week there were 7,100 different wineries in California, or I'm sorry, in the United States alone. The TTB is going around starting to check up on everyone. Now, one of the biggest things they're going to look at are these alcohol contents. Now, by law in the United States, you can be plus or minus a point on alcohol. So this Pallmeyer and this Rubicon coming in at 14.9%, it actually could be 15.9% in that glass. So be aware of this when you start looking at these higher alcohol wines. We all know how I feel about high alcohol wines. I think they're starting to get dangerously, dangerously high, and I think eventually it's going to affect the flavors. Well, it does affect the flavors now. There's no doubt about it. But when you're casually sitting around and your significant other is having a glass of wine that comes in at 12% and yours is coming in at 16%, there's going to be a divided difference on which one of you is going to slur and speak intelligibly later. So keep that in mind as you're out shopping and you're looking and you're seeing all these high alcohol at wines. It's actually probably worse than you think it is. Well, we are going to take a small break right here. When we come back, we're going to help you navigate the wilds of California, Sonoma and Napa, and help you plan your trip out there to have a wonderful time in the Wild West.
Check out WineCrush.com for weekly wine recommendations, recipes, blogs, and news items.
I heard in the news the other day about how one man's $3,000 credit card balance exploded to over $10,000 in no time at all. As good as the plastic in your wallet may be, if you run into any problems with your credit card companies, they'll hit you so hard with late and over-limit fees that your head'll spin, and so will your debt. At that point, you cannot stop your runaway debt problem.
Well, yes, you can. If your credit card debt is out of control, you're getting collection calls, you're mad as hell, and you can't take it anymore, call us and one of our partner companies will negotiate on your behalf and show you strategies to help you get out of debt.
If you have $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, call now for a free debt analysis. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815.
I have a structured settlement and needed my money. Waiting over time to receive payments wasn't working, so I contacted CBC Settlement Funding. They helped me turn my structured settlement into immediate cash. If you're receiving a structured settlement spread out over time and you want a lump sum amount immediately, you need to call now. I purchased a local bakery with my lump sum, a goal I thought I would never reach. Now I make my own dough. I always wanted to operate my own business, and thanks to CBC Settlement Funding, we are open for business. Structured settlements are commonly used to resolve personal injury lawsuits. Annuities are designed to spread payments out over 10 or 20 years.
If you have a structured settlement and you want cash now, call CBC Settlement Funding for fast cash today. 800-203-3517. 800-203-3517. 3517. 800-203-3517.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like,
"Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor. Or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Plane touched down just about 3 o'clock, and the city's still on my mind. Bikinis and palm trees danced in my head. I was still in the baggage line.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. That is the perfect song to lead into our next guest, because right now all of us need to be packing and planning to go out to the West Coast, and we have two definitive books that can certainly help us navigate our way out there. Right now we have Tilar Mazzeo, who is the novelist of Backlane Wineries of Napa and Sonoma. Tilar, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Hi, thanks to be here.
Oh, this is great. It was funny, I was reading your bio, I'd seen both your books, and they were fascinating, and I didn't realize that you wrote one of my favorite books in the wine business.
Oh, what's that?
The Widow Clicquot.
Oh, thank you, that's nice of you to say. I did indeed write that.
Yes, so you are truly an expert when it comes to wine, and of course, women in the wine business. You and I can have a whole different field day about that topic. But today we're talking about getting our listeners out to California and getting them off Highway 12 and getting them off Highway 29.
Exactly. Some of the best places to visit in the wine country are on those back lanes.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you discover all these back lane wineries, and how did you decide that this definitely needed to be written?
Well, I lived for a long time out in Sonoma County. Still live out there part of the year, but lived there full-time for a long time. And when I moved out to the wine country, started checking out the wineries in the neighborhood, doing a little bit of tasting, maybe even a lot of tasting. And this was the book that I, at some point, realized there needed to be. It was the one that when I moved to the wine country, I wanted. And so that's how it happened, is I would spend my weekends going out and at some point got brave and decided to head off the beaten path. One day I sent out an email to, I'm a writer, so I sent out an email one day to an editor who had done a series of my favorite travel guides, and I said, hey, would you be interested in this book that really needs to exist? She said, absolutely, as long as you agree to do both of them. So it was
great.
There
you go.
Yeah.
So you definitely had the plan. Now, here's my question. I've been out to California more times than California would probably like to admit. I'm sure there's some wineries that has my little face on it with a red line through it. But a lot of the places we found, we got sick of driving on the main highways and said, let's go get lost.
Which is a great approach. I mean, that's a fabulous way to do it. And a lot of the places, especially the small places, can be by appointment only. So, you know, sometimes that feels a little bit limiting, but you have to remember that out in Napa, especially, by appointment only often has to do with the fact that that's the way the tasting room regulations are set up, so that that's the only way someone can be open. And if you call, often they can get you in 10 minutes later.
I am so happy you brought that up, because we've talked a lot on the show lately, of course, about everything that was going on in Napa, the definition of a winery,
yeah,
and the fact that a lot of people's favorite places, they'll pick up the winery guides, it'll say by appointment only. Oh, God, I can't go. Laura, can you help me? Yes, you can. You have to plan ahead, and that's going to be the theme for today's traveling show. But pick up the phone. People will work you in right then.
They really will. I mean, everyone is delighted to have people stop by. And, you know, the reason that people want you to plan ahead, apart from the regulations and, you know, some of that, which is the regulations are all about preserving the agricultural beauty of Napa and Sonoma, which is really important. So I would love to go there. But also it's because those are the same people who are otherwise working out back in the barrel room or out, you know, pruning vines. And they want to make sure they have a chance to really spend time with you and give you a insider tour on what's happening in their winery and share their passion with you.
I definitely think the wineries that you are focusing on, for people who want to go out and experience the true nature of going to a winery, yes, you can stop by Behringer. Yes, you can go through the turnstiles. I love Behringer. I think it's a beautiful property. But to get out there and to have an opportunity to be with one of the principals or the winemaker or somebody who walks in jeans and a shirt that's covered in wine or grape juice, it is such a lovely opportunity.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's really, if you think about it, it's one of the best values out there. You're going to go and make an appointment to go see somebody who shares a passion and an expertise with you, and, you know, you might end up with a couple of bottles of wine in the back of your car, bottles of wine in the back of your car, too, and that was the price of that education. I mean, it's an incredible value, and it's also just a fabulous experience. These are really nice people. You know, doing the research for it, the way I did it is exactly what, you know, any traveler out there would do, is I went and did the tastings, and I ended up with a lot of really fabulous new friends out in the wine country. You know, it was a great way to learn about the community I was living in.
What was the first winery you wandered into and said, hi, I'm writing a book, how can you help me?
Well, it was funny, you know, because it didn't start that way. So what had happened was that I discovered some of the small wineries just around in my neighborhood. And so I think one of the first one was actually the Holly, the folks up in the Dry Creek, the Holly wines. And it ended up that Paul Holly, who's the son of John, who's the winemaker and the owner, Paul is also a photographer as well as a winemaker. And so he ended up doing all the photos for the book, because early on I met him and we got chatting about this idea, and he's a fabulous photographer. So he did the photos for both books. And what I did for the research is, in the beginning, I had just gone and went back to some of my favorite places that I discovered as a local. And I went to those people and I said, tell me the names of 10 of your competitors who you think everybody out there needs to know about. And that was really how I did the research, is I went from winemaker to winemaker and I said, tell me who's making great wine, who are nice people, you know, who you'd really recommend your friends go to when they're in the wine country. And it was amazing. In the course of those two books that I did, you know, both the Backlane Wineries of Napa and the Backlane Wineries of Sonoma, I think I had only one time in talking to easily 170 winemakers. I had one person say, no, I won't tell you the name of my 10 competitors. Everybody else.
Really?
Not only that, they said, not only will I tell you the name of them, let me give you their cell phone number, you know, let me call him. He's out in the field right now. If I just send you down there, he won't know who you are, but I'm going to call, you know. And it was amazing. I mean, these books could not have been written without the real participation of the wine communities in Sonoma and Napa. It was really a collaborative project in a lot of ways.
And I think it helps focus on, obviously, we want our listeners to pick up your books if they're traveling out there, even if they're not traveling around there, so that they can round out their education. But what you said holds so true. I've heard from so many people, and I'll focus on your Napa series because obviously that's the one that's out right now.
Yeah.
They go to Napa and they say, everyone there is stuffy. I go to the wineries and I don't feel like I can get in. I feel like I'm being herded along and people are just trying to hand me cases of wine. And I try and tell people that's not how it is. If you'll take a breather, if you'll wander off 29, if you'll even wander a little bit off Silver, you can even get accommodations at Silverado Trail and go off a little bit further, you'll realize, just like you're saying, the winemakers, if you go in there, they'll call their friends. Oh my God, here's 10 other wineries you have to go see today. Please go see them.
Exactly. You know, I had, and I admit, you know, because I was a local in Sonoma, and so when I started doing the Napa book, I had that same attitude. I thought, oh, you know, I've got to do the Napa book. This is going to be so much harder because Napa is so much more snobby. And I am humiliated to say I could not have been more wrong. I mean, you're exactly right that some of the friendliest people I've ever met in my life, some of the warmest welcomes I've ever had in all of the wine country were in Napa. And you don't have to get very far off the beaten trail at all. You know, it just takes not going to some of the very, very big commercial places. And, you know, like you said, Behringer, some of the big commercial places are fabulous. They're just a different kind of experience. But they are not the place to go on a weekend. I mean, if what you have is a weekend getaway, you have a weekend getaway, and so does everybody else. And so you end up at these places, and they're just packed, and you're fighting your way to the tasting bar. And, you know, at that moment, nobody has the time to spend with you because they're just swamped with all of these people. And that, on the weekends, when you have the time to get away, the perfect time to get on the back lanes, because those are the smaller places where they're not going to be, you know, it's not going to be 100 bridesmaids. So, you know, if you want to go do the big places, do them on a Wednesday.
That would be perfect. Well, Tyler, thank you very much for being on the show today. We appreciate it. Is there a website or someplace they can go and read about your books and catch some inside information
on
it?
There is. My webpage is www, and then my first name, T-I-L-A-R, and then a dash, and then my last name, M-A-Z-Z-E-O, .com. And I would invite your readers. We're always adding to the webpage discoveries of wineries in Napa and Sonoma that we might not have missed or that have recently opened. So I would love to hear from readers about their favorite discoveries, and I'll add those on the webpage too.
Sounds great.
Thanks.
Well, Tyler,
so much.
Thanks for being on The Crush, and I'm sure we'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure. You have a good day now.
We're going to take a small break right here, but more of your calls and emails when we return.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? Increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a million-year-old beach? between drinking clean water or breathing clean air. Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
This is The Wine Crush, and I am Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay-sipping diva. A special thanks again to Tylar Mazzeo, the author of the Backlane Wineries of Napa and Sonoma. And for those of you who haven't caught it, The Widow Clico is a great history of Champagne and women's influence on that and how what a groundbreaker that woman was. So I encourage you all, check out Tylar's website or go to Amazon.com and see those books. But for those of you who are going to travel out to California this year, I encourage you especially to get her books because you need to start planning now. Now, I know we've done a lot of stuff on the show in the past about how to go to Napa, how to go to Sonoma, how to dress, what to wear, all that kind of stuff. But there are some pointers you need to think out right now. Obviously, people are getting a little away from staycations, however you want to put it this year. And a lot of people I have talked to are going to venture out to wine country. Now, people haven't done this before. They're like, oh, Laura, I love your show. I think it's great. I want to go check out these places you're talking about. I encourage all of you, please do that. But I'm speaking as an industry insider at this point. If you don't have your trip planned right now and you think you're going before June, you're in a bad way. It is so busy out there. Tourism, especially with the winery battles, as far as definitions and the things that are changing out there, the fact that we've been in the spotlight with the grape glut and everything going on. A lot of people are doing the same thing you are. So here's some little pieces of advice for you. Number one, plan at minimum 45 days in advance. Do not think you can just decide on a lark for a weekend you can go out there. I tried to help a group of 8 that are planning to go out there. I think it's the week before Memorial Day. I couldn't even help them out. So keep that in mind. Even the insiders don't know the tricks. Second thing, and this takes some parsing, and I may make some enemies over this. Pick a valley and stick with it. That's the best advice I can give you. If you've never been to wine country or you want to go to wine country and you think, well, I want to go to this winery in Napa, I want to go to this winery in Sonoma, well, then I want to go to Amador. Look, unless you really like traffic or spending a lot of time in a car, Don't do this to yourself. I have screwed up trips royally by doing that, trying to see different wineries. Pick a valley. It's the best advice I can give you. If you want to go see Sonoma and Napa, plan two separate trips. But you will be much more relaxed. You'll enjoy the wineries more, and you'll enjoy the countryside more if you do it this way. Keep in mind, there are a lot of other people out there doing what you're going to do. That means a lot of traffic. These aren't generally big highways, people. These are two-lane roads that cut through farm country, and you can be known to sit on Highway 29 for an hour and 15 minutes trying to get into St. Helena. So if you planned a winery tour at the southern end of the valley and at the northern end of the valley and left yourself, oh, it's only 15 miles, I can make that in 20 minutes, no, you're not going to. So keep that in mind. Plan ahead. Also, something to keep in mind, I know a lot of us are planning to try, oh, well, I want to go to Crush this year. I want to go to Harvest this year. This is something you need to get out of your head. If you're insisting on trying to do this, plan your trip for late September, early October, and keep your fingers crossed. That way, if you're really lucky, people will start to have crushing, they'll start harvest. It's all up to Mother Nature, and you've got to keep that in mind. You can't call these wineries and say, I want to be part of your crush party. What date is it? It's a farm. They don't know. It's up to Mother Nature. So do not plan your life around that. And finally, I want to go off something that Tyler said when we were talking about Backlane wineries. You have to give to receive. If you're going to go into these wineries and pretend you know everything about wine and come across as, oh, well, I've had your wine. Oh, it's okay. You're going to get yourself in trouble. If you go into some of these Backlane wineries and you're honest, hey, how are you? I don't know much about your wines. I'd love to learn. Give me an experience. Everyone is going to receive you very, very well. So it's the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have done to you, and you will have an incredible experience. If you go out there as a know-it-all, you're dead in the water, and you're not going to have a good time. So there's my lengthy lesson on how to do Napa Valley, how to do Sonoma Valley. I'm sure some of you will have questions and comments. We do every year. So please reach out to me. You can find me at 877-4-CRUSH-1 and drop a call on the wine line. Or you can email me directly at lauralawson@winecrush.com. Also, check out our website. You can look at past shows. You can look at past blogs. It will give you an idea on how to fulfill your trip and make it a great experience, winecrush.com. And, of course, you can email us directly from there if you read or hear something that you either really like or really disagree with. We'd like to know. Well, I think right now we have a call on the wine line. Someone was brave enough to call and listen to Kent's charming voice, and we have Jim from North Carolina. Jim, welcome to The Crush.
I got a question for you. You recommend these wines on the show, and I was wondering, what is the best way to get wine shipped to me from a distributing house or directly from the wineries, and you know, what kind of laws are associated with that?
Well, Jim, you did everything really, but tell me exactly what state you're from. If you're from North Carolina, you're part of one of those seven states that it's going to be kind of difficult to get wines into and out of. This is something that, of course, is going back in front of Congress right now. It's the direct shipping laws. Who can get wine shipments? Who can't get wine shipments? Right now, I believe it is my understanding, and once again, I encourage anyone out there, correct me, while this is in the state of appeals, you can have it shipped from the wineries. The wineries can ship direct to you. Wine.com can ship to you. Your local wineries can definitely ship to you. Jim, if you're in North Carolina, and we've talked about Ray Lynn or Childress or Biltmore, they can ship in-state. That's not a problem. We may have a problem with this down the road, and I think it's great advice to get on these mailing lists, to look at wineries directly, and find some of the smaller wineries you haven't been able to find. As far as a distributor shipping to you, I'm sorry, that is never going to happen, but you definitely can get it shipped from one of your online retailers, or you can get it shipped from the winery. So hopefully that'll help, and I'll give you a little bit of insight, and I wish you luck with it. And for our rest of our listeners, I will keep you posted as we hear more about the shipping laws and get a better idea of what's going on as for who can get what when. As always, we encourage you, call us 877-4-CRUSH-1, or you can email me, like I said, at lauralawson@winecrush.com. Right now, I have another email. This email is from Catherine in Washington. She writes, I just read that the rule of thumb says that letting an open bottle of wine stand on the counter accelerates the aging process by 1 year for each day opened. I have never heard this before. Is there any credence in it? It was on an online blog, and I just don't understand it. Well, Catherine, I have to admit, it's not one I have ever heard either, and I am pretty much a great repository for every wine urban legend that's out there. Certainly, if you leave wine open out on the counter, it's going to change. The structure is going to change. It's going to break down. Alcohol can evaporate. The flavors drop out. But as far as aging a year, there's no exact way to gauge that. If I have a bottle of two-buck chuck and I leave it on the counter, was that something I really wanted aged to begin with? Do I really want to know what the 2005 two-buck chuck tastes like? Nope, thanks, I'll pass. As far as some of your bigger wines, as some of the wines you'd pay heavy money for, whether it's Burgundy or Bordeaux or some big-name California wines, I wouldn't recommend this treatment either. You don't say whether this person is advocating doing it to age the wines or whether they're just saying it's going to deteriorate the wine itself. If they're writing this to advocate the aging of wines, they're idiots. There is no good way to do that. There are two things on the market. Obviously, you can get a vinerator, and what that does is you pour the wine through the vinerator, and it aerates the wine. So it opens it up automatically so that you don't have to sit and wait for it to breathe or open up. But logically, the best way to handle a wine that you're trying to open up and to get some of the tannins and everything to release is to decant the wine. And that's one of the primary purposes of decanting, is to get air into it so it opens up so you can catch all the flavors and, of course, to get rid of the sediment. If they're telling you it's a bad thing to leave your wine on the counter, I can't say I disagree. Remember, I don't know around my household. Bottle of wine, once it's opened, it's history. It has no lifespan whatsoever. But there are some great products out there that you can get to help age your wine. Private Preserve's a good one. The little nitrous oxide tanks are really good. Something else to think about, even if you don't have any of that handy, just put the cork back in the bottle and put it in the refrigerator. Is this the guaranteed way? Is it going to be perfect the next day? No, but it will definitely slow the deterioration and the flavor of the wine. So we're going to take a small break right here. Catherine, I hope that helped. And when we return, definitely your emails, your calls, and more of my wonderful advice.
Visit winecrush.com for guest information, wine recommendations, and more. This is The Wine Crush.
You've been hearing and seeing good things about Z-Max Micro Lubricant everywhere, and you're curious, what is Z-Max Micro Lubricant? Well, it's the only pure micro lubricant that penetrates into the metal of your engine to clean out deposit buildup, improve gas mileage, and your engine's performance. Go ahead, get a bottle, add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It's easy to do. Get Z-Max at a retail performance partner near you, and you'll experience a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. Z-Max it.
Mr. Jackson, we're calling to say you're late on your credit card bill. Can you please call us to schedule a payment and avoid future late fees?
If you're getting collection calls from your credit card companies and you want to put a stop to it, gather your bills now and call the Debt Helpline.
Mr. Jackson, we've been trying to reach you. If we don't hear from you soon, your account will go into collections.
We can help you stop the late and over limit fees on most of your credit cards and reduce your high interest rates, in some cases up to 60%.
Mr. Jackson, this is our last warning call. The next call will be from our legal department.
Get your debt and credit card bills under control. Gather your bills and call today for a free consultation on how we can help you get out of debt. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. That's 800-948-6815.
Don't let your car or truck turn into a clunker. Z-Max. Z-Max, added to your oil and your gas tank, can clean internal engine components and fuel systems, reduce engine wear, and give you better mileage. Z-Max is a pure micro lubricant that gives you a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. These are some big claims, but they've all been backed up by some of the most rigorous testing in the industry. Z-Max Micro Lubricant, available at your favorite auto parts retailer.
Mozartoasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be. They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot
fresh from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Well, of course, we love your calls and emails around here, but I like it when I can tie things together with interesting news stories. And, of course, in last week's show, we were talking about how many wineries were in California. There were 7,100 wineries around the United States, and the fact it had grown by 18%. Well, what's interesting is a report has come out this week, and it's talking about the increase of wine itself and the grapes that create it. And it was talking about the different varietals and how they had increased their production and how people are ripping out certain varietals and planting others. And here we are still. Pinot Noir saw the largest growth of any variety, red or white, 18%. That means 18% more Pinot Noir is going to be on the market. Now, Merlot is the poor little guy still that was the one that was on the tail end of this. People are decreasing on Merlot. They're ripping out acreages of Merlot. I have my thoughts on that. I've told y'all time and time again, people talk dry, drink sweet. Merlot is the perfect red grape for the American palate. And we'll get on that in a little bit. But as more Pinot Noir is out there, it's interesting. It's coming out of Monterey and Santa Barbara. Now, keep in mind, it's being planted. These vines are not bearing fruit yet. We've got 3 years till these things start bearing fruit. Now, for the last 2 years, Pinot Noir has been the largest planted variety. So all of this is about to come online, meaning we are about to see a lot of Pinot Noir. You think we have a grape glut now? You wait till the next 2 years. We're going to have plenty of Pinot out there. Is that really a good thing, though? People talk about Pinot Noir. You know me, I'm still going to talk about the sideways effect. People started drinking Pinot Noir because of Little Miles, that wretched, wretched heathen of a creature who ran around screaming he wasn't going to drink Merlot. I think it's wonderful. I think it's an elegant, beautiful fruit. I love the wines. I'm a Pinot Noir advocate all the way through. Even the French stuff I absolutely love. But the question is, with all this newfound planting, with all this wonderful grapes coming online, are we truly getting the style and flavor of Pinot Noir? A lot of people talk about this. Pinot Noir is a delicate grape. Pinot Noir is a difficult grape. Pinot Noir is a hostile grape. Seriously, it's probably the most difficult grape to grow. And so, of course, if you have something that's delicate, hostile, has to have cool climates, likes to be handpicked, it's thin-skinned, it's not like Cabernet. You know, things don't bounce off Pinot Noir. It goes right through. Bees love it. So how can we have an inexpensive Pinot Noir on the market? How can we see the prices that we're seeing right now? Because if all these things add into the fact that Pinot Noir is very hard to grow, how can we know we're doing great things with the inexpensive ones? So it'll be fun over the next 3 years to take a good look at what's out there. Look at Monterey. Look at Santa Barbara. I can think of some great Pinots I love right now, but most of them fall in the $15 to $40 category. Is someone out there really going to come up with a $9.99 Pinot that makes all of us lick our lips and say, great? Let's hide and watch. I will certainly put my 2 cents worth in as I taste different things. But also, I ask you to let me know what you're finding out there on the inexpensive end of California Pinot that you're drinking and you enjoy. Call me, 877-4CRUSH1, or email me at lauralawson@winecrush.com. Or, of course, this will be on this week's blog. Feel free to comment on that. Now, all of this is started because of an email I have received. And the email is from John in Raleigh. And John writes, why is it that we hear about red Burgundy being great after 10 years, but American Pinot Noirs, Oregon, California, Washington too, seem to last only 3? Well, that's what started all this. I think it all ties in. When you look at the red Burgundy, when you look at the wines of Echezeau, when you look at the wines of Pommard, when you think of all the wonderful Pinot Noirs that come from over there, they're designed to age. And what I mean is, number one, they're not cheap. let's all face facts. We've all sat down and looked at a wine list and picked up, and even the low-end Echezo is going to run you over $160. But when you look at that wine and you taste it, the grapes have been planted there for centuries. They know exactly what their yields are. They know where they're coming from, and they know exactly what they can get for it, what it's going to taste like, and they talk about the concept of terroir. John, over there, that's what they talk about. Terroir, this is how it's going to taste now. They've had practice laying these wines down. Granted, with some of the price points, they can lay them down for a little bit longer. We aren't going to be buying them, but you know what to expect. When you start looking at Oregon, California, and Washington State Pinots, you think about it, Oregon came online logistically, let's say 75. Granted, it's producing what I think are the best Pinots to come out of the West Coast, but we only have 25, 35 years of experience knowing how long it'll age, how it'll lay down, are we planting in the right place, do we know what the set style parameter is. And we talked a couple segments ago about the fact that we have higher alcohol wines out there right now. Have we found our set pattern? Same holds true for California. Same holds true for Washington State. When you look at wines that we're adding power and we're adding alcohol and we're adding all this different finesse to it, no, we don't know. Are there wines in California, Washington, Oregon that will lay down? Absolutely. Dutton Goldfield, the Devil's Gulch and Freestone come to mind. Those wines age beautifully. Out of Oregon, Sokol Blosser, their single vineyard are absolutely spectacular. What Dick Ward at Saintsbury did with some of his single vineyard Pinots, though definitely will age. It's just a matter of finding it. And the key, John, I think, are you willing to pay for it? Are you going to pay for the privilege of being able to buy those wines just like you would Burgundy? That's what makes or breaks people who are willing to lay things down. We're going to take a small break right here, but when we return, we're going to wrap up today's show and see what we have ahead.
Need a wine recommendation for a party? Want Laura to address something on the show? Email her at lauralawson@winecrush.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you get it. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need affordable health insurance to get it.
Here's the number. Call right now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need affordable family health insurance, call now.
800-799-9991. 800-799-9991. 800-799-9991.
Not available in all states. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Not licensed in New York.
I have a structured settlement and needed my money. Waiting over time to receive payments wasn't working, so I contacted CBC Settlement Funding. They helped me turn my structured settlement into immediate cash. If you're receiving a structured settlement spread out over time and you want a lump sum amount immediately, you need to call now. I purchased a local bakery with my lump sum, a goal I thought I would never reach. Now I make my own dough. I always wanted to operate my own business, and thanks to CBC Settlement Funding, we are open for business. Structured settlements are commonly used to resolve personal injury lawsuits. Annuities are designed to spread payments out over 10 or 20 years.
If you have a structured settlement and you want cash now, call CBC Settlement Funding for fast cash today. 800-203-3517. 800-203-3517. 3517. 800-203-3517.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chomping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood. Hi-hi! Concrete. Hi-ya! Brick walls. Hi-ya! Trees. Hi-ya! Small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars. Hi-ya! It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Well, we've had an interesting show today, and I once again want to give my special thanks to Tyler Mazzeo, the author of Backlane Wineries of Napa. Definitely an informative book for those of you that are traveling out there. But let's tie all this together. Let's think about what we've talked about today. Obviously, when you start thinking of the Backlane Wineries in Napa, even though some of them are definitely the garage-style wines that have been there for, 6 months, on those back lanes, you are going to find some producers who have had the land in their family, centuries, literally centuries. A lot of the people you're seeing on these back lanes have been growers. And because they know the land and because they have the land, they've decided, hey, I've got these grapes. I'm not going to sell them off at a mere pittance of what they're worth. I'm going to start making my own wines. So when you think about things like that, number one, when you decide to go off the back roads, you can meet some very entertaining people. The people you call and get appointments with are going to be the people who make the wine, who grew the grapes, who actually are hands-on and can tell you everything you wanted to know about where they came from. Careful, don't start talking dirt. You might be there for days. But because they've done this, I still want to go back to John's question and the idea that, you know, why can't we get any decent Pinot Noirs? Why do we not lay down Pinot Noirs in America? Perhaps when you're taking the time to go find these people in Napa and in Sonoma Valley who are doing unique things, who are on the back roads, they are the people who are producing these single-lot great Pinot Noirs. It doesn't just have to be Pinot Noir. It can be Merlot. It can be Syrah. You're going to find a lot of fun varietals when you decide to get off the beaten path, and these are going to be the people who are pros at it. You're going to find wineries that do nothing but Syrah, and they've done Syrah in their family for 40 years. So they're going to be good at it. You're going to find people who play around Pinot if you get off the back roads in Carneros, and they're going to have done it for 50 years, and they're going to be good at it. So keep that in mind as you travel all the way through Napa and find these out-of-the-way places. You might find some of the best wines of your life. But lastly, the best piece of advice I can give you, if you find it, you love it, don't leave it. Buy it and take it with you, or you're going to regret it. Well, this has been the Wine Crush, and we've had a lot of fun this week. But as always, here at the Wine Crush, we remind you, sip socially, drink responsibly, drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth.